This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We mentioned the federal spending cuts that have been underway. Multiple programs and organizations around the country have been affected. Many of them good programs that are now losing some funding as a result of them. One of them that is potentially in danger is the St. Louis Kaplan Feldman Museum, which is the Holocaust Museum here in the St. Louis area. And to talk about it with us is Helen Turner, the Director of Education with the museum, as an emergency fundraising campaign has begun. We appreciate your time today, Helen. How are you?
Oh, hello. I am well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for joining us, Helen. And I guess to just lay it out there, how much funding is the Holocaust Museum in danger of losing, or did they lose? And what did that money go to support within the museum?
Yeah, and I think that's the most basic question, right, is what are we all talking about and what did we lose? So at the moment, on April 8th, we were notified that over $130,000 in remaining grant funds had been terminated from a project that we were engaging in. And that project was directly about digitizing survivor testimonies and interviews.
That is insane to me. So this money, this grant money, as you said, was going to make sure that Holocaust survivors, you had the funding to document their interviews, document their stories, put those into the museum, keep those, preserve those, and with one fell swoop, that money was gone. To me, that just shows that these cuts are being made without knowing,
without thinking,
without looking at what funding they're cutting. Because why would someone intentionally cut funding to preserving the story of Holocaust survivors?
Yeah, and if I may, especially right now, I mean, Missouri now has a Holocaust mandate, which means that the entire state is engaged in Holocaust memory. And the digitization of these stories is really to make sure they're accessible to everyone all across the state and across the country. So this is far more than just a regional issue.
And, it's important now, Helen, I'm assuming, because we don't have that many Holocaust survivors who are left. Mm-hmm. And as the days go by, we lose more and more of them. Is it even possible to know just how many people we have not spoken to or who have not had their histories recorded yet?
You know, that is a great question, and we really don't know those numbers, but we know, you know, so many people are still out there who are waiting to tell their story. And the stories that we have, you know, we really want to make them accessible. We have 140 stories that are online out of 300 total. So the work we have in front of us to make sure that these stories, these testimonies, these eyewitness accounts of the Nazi period are really important. They're essential to get online so that people can remember this history and engage with it.
And Helen, is this the work that's being done specifically by the Kaplan-Feldman Holocaust Museum, these interviews?
Yeah, so the interviews most of them were conducted years ago, and we're in the active process of digitizing them, so making sure that people can listen to them, watch them, and access them. So we're really moving them from VHS tapes onto you know, more accessible digitization. But we are deeply engaged in that work. And it's the core of what we do. We are here to preserve survivor stories. So I think this grant funding, I mean, it really hits at the core of who we are and what we do and what this community is all about.
And you mentioned that it's more than regional. I would imagine you have all of these stories, you digitize them. Is there a way then that all of the Holocaust survivor stories are able to be shared with the Holocaust Museum in D.C., the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, that they're all together?
They're not all together. People do tend to have their own archives.
Okay.
But what we are creating is a global network. And so by being able, you know, I could be sat in my house in the U.K. and I could access these digital records. And I think that really creates a network around the world to share the voices of survivors, because there are so many different survivor stories, very varied experiences, and this is really just part of the collective memory of the Holocaust.
Helen Turner is the Director of Education with the St. Louis Kaplan Feldman Museum. So with these cuts happening, there is a fundraising effort that is happening now. So how are you going about it exactly, and how much are you hoping to raise?
Yeah, so we obviously this fundraising effort is emergent, and we really need people's help. And first, I just want to say people have been wonderfully supportive so far. We're about 24 hours into this campaign, and we've had a wonderful response. And we're so proud of the St. Louis community and everybody who supports us. But we're really looking to plug that hole of about $130,000. And so you can do that. You can give directly on our website at www.stlholocaustmuseum.org, and every little bit counts. You know, there's no such thing as a small donation. We really need your support, and the time is now.
So people can again go to stlholocaustmuseum.org. Let's say that the community shows up above and beyond, and you were to hit, obviously, over that $130,000. If people continue to donate, what does that funding help keep going at the Holocaust Museum?
Oh, my, what a wonderful question, and I love your dream. the museum is so essential, and we are doing this work of digitization, of, you know, making sure these survivor stories are accessible. But as it says in my title, I'm the Director of Education, and the big thing that we do is we welcome students from across the region through our museum doors, and we have never been more busy than we are this year. With the Holocaust mandate going into effect for the state, we need support to make sure we can welcome every visitor who wants to come to our space. That means the public. We have exceptional public programs. It means students. And the work of the Holocaust Museum, we are just getting started.
So this museum has been around for a very long time, and it has continued to grow. What, you know, as Amy said, if this funding happens now, and then in the future you're going to be looking for more and more funding, where do you expect expansion of the museum to go from where we are in 2025?
That's a phenomenal question. And actually, you're asking us on the perfect kind of timing, because the museum is just coming up on our 30th anniversary. We've got a big birthday this month. And when I think about where we've been, you know, starting off as a smaller department of the Jewish Federation, which we're very proud of that partnership and so grateful to them for making us the organization that we are. But to see where we are now, you know, we're a beautiful museum. We welcome students from across the state. But in truth, you know, I think the sky's the limit. We want to be a regional powerhouse. We want to welcome everyone through our doors. And we really want to show that we are here to stay. We are here to tell these stories. And I cannot wait to see where we go in the next 30 years. I would like us to get bigger and better and bolder in what we're able to do, and really make sure that we are accessible to every single Missourian and Midwesterner.
And people should note, too, they can go to stlholocaustmuseum.org. You guys have extraordinary events as well, guest speakers who share their stories, and that people can go support the Holocaust Museum, but also maybe attend a very special event.
Yeah, and we actually have a very important commemorative event. It's called Yom HaShoah, and it's the Day of Remembrance, which is happening on April 27th at Temple Israel this year. And we will have a Holocaust survivor speaking. And I think, you know, if there's a more important time to pay attention to that memory and what we're doing here at the museum, there's no better event than our Yom HaShoah event. And you can find all that information on our website.
And the museum is generally open from 10 until 4:30 on Wednesdays through Sunday, correct? You're off Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, Mondays and Tuesdays. We actually close to the public to make sure that we can give our full attention to our students. But any other day of the week, we really want people to come in. You can visit our permanent Holocaust exhibition, our special exhibition, The Artist Who Captured Eichmann, and the Impact Lab, which is a great space to make connections to today.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, such a special time, not only because of the 30 years, correct? The 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And also with it being Passover and being top of mind, Friday night celebrated Passover with a friend at her house, and how special that was for her and her family, and to be able to celebrate that here. And it's so important to remember those who were not able to celebrate without being persecuted.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a reflecting time of year. It's a time of year to think about freedom and liberation, but also about where the Jewish people have been and also where they're going. And so I think that's also why this grant cut hurts a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But also I think it's really helping us kind of digging our heels in and saying, no, we are here to stay.
Just to go back to the cuts, or to this specific cut that is affecting your museum, is there any chance, I don't know if you've had any sort of communication with the government about this, that maybe they backtrack on this? Because there have been some programs they have cut or people they have cut and then said, oh, wait, hold on, we need those people, and then have gone back and rehired them or whatever. So has there been any communication in that regard that maybe they go back on this particular cut?
You know, Chris, I tend to consider myself an optimist, and I would like to believe that, but all indications would point that is not an option at this point in time. If it were to change, we'd be very grateful, and we'd be willing to work with anybody who will work with us on that level. But at this moment in time, that doesn't look like an option.
Well, okay. Well,
do
hopefully they
do. Do they even
know
it was cut? You know, who knows?
I don't know.
Who is up there making this decision?
Does it seem chaotic from your end, or do you feel like this is pretty clear cut and you understand exactly where you stand?
I mean, you know, speaking quite frankly, you know, we got very pointed emails delivering this information to us. There really was not, it was not a conversation, and there was very clearly no wiggle room. And other museums have also received the exact same messaging. Everyone's getting a very formulated email. It's extremely clear language. There is no option for conversation or any kind of negotiation, which is quite frankly very disheartening.
I'm assuming. I'm wondering if it was an AI message.
Possibly.
It's insane.
Grok
to me.
Probably wrote it.
This is mind blowing. We're sorry that we're like kind of astonished right now. So,
you and me both. I think this has taken everybody by surprise, and I think, I think we're all trying to react in the most level headed way, always keeping the museum at the forefront. Mm-hmm. But really understanding, there was no negotiation moment with this email, and we'll see what the future brings. Again, I would like to remain optimistic, but I have no mystery in where we sit today.
Well, Helen Turner, we do wish you the best of luck here in the fundraising. Again, stlholocaustmuseum.org is the website. Helen is the director of education with the Kaplan Feldman Museum. Thank you very much again for joining us today.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I so appreciate your time and your incredible partners and supporters, and just giving us voice is really helpful. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you, thank Helen. You. That is Helen Turner with us. It would just be, I guess, easier to swallow if you felt like this was done with surgical precision and not with a chainsaw. It's very off-putting. And I know there are people who are cheering all of this on that, yes, we need a cut, we need a cut. Yeah, okay, fine. But maybe they should think through some of these things first.
The pointed emails is jarring. And, I mean, it's weird that I almost hope that it's AI, because imagine being the person crafting an email to a Holocaust museum that you're cutting the funding to digitize the deteriorating VHS tapes that contain Holocaust survivor stories. And again, none of this matches up. There's a Holocaust mandate in the state of Missouri, as she said, that you're teaching it. You're making sure you're preserving it for future generations. It seems rather contradictory to have that and cut the funding. But yeah, Ranch, as you said, as everyone said, government efficiency is a great goal.
Sure.
But when you
that's
take
not what they're
a
doing.
Hacksaw. And I, for me, like, you know, the Holocaust Museum, and again, I keep going back to Meals on Wheels and the great work they do. The people, I mean, and too, like, these World War II veterans, right? So many veterans, Vietnam veterans, veterans of the Korean War, grandparents relying on Meals on Wheels, and to have the funding be cut at a time when one in three Meals on Wheels programs have a waiting list because they're already underfunded. It's heartbreaking to me and frustrating that do they even know what they're cutting?
There isn't a single person who's not on board with the idea of more efficiency, but it isn't efficient. It's terribly inefficient to cut a bunch of programs or employees and then figure out later, oh, man, maybe we need those people. Or maybe we needed that program. That was stupid of us. And then for the guy who's the architect of it to say, well, we're going to make mistakes. Yeah, well, try not to make the mistakes first. If you would do a little thinking first, maybe you wouldn't make the mistake.
Anyone who's ever built
this
something
isn't hard. This really isn't difficult.
Measure twice, cut once is the most efficient way to go.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I live in the county, and I'm looking for a St. Louis mayor that will revitalize downtown as well as provide services so that we become a viable downtown area for the metropolitan area.
That's Steve sending in a voice message to the Odyssey app, which you can also do. And those are Steve's hopes for the new mayor, Kara Spencer, who is taking the job today. She was elected like 30 minutes ago, and she's already in office, which is... I'll never get over that quick turnaround. It just seems like a bigger job.
It is really hitting you hard.
It is. Yeah. Like, I mean...
But can I ask you this?
She's not president, so you don't need 3 months, but maybe... 3 weeks?
So usually it's 2 weeks. Do you feel a whole heck of a lot better with 2 weeks, or do you feel like 2 weeks is even short?
I think 2 weeks is still short.
I think 3 weeks is a good
3 weeks is a great number. You give her time to put together a staff that she wants and, you know, really get a good lay of the land and figure it out. Have a little bit of a transition. It just seems like a, all right, here you go now. It's like walking into the police station and they say, well, you're hired. Here's your gun. You know, go out there and do.
Go be.
A thing.
Although that is kind of how I got this job.
Yeah.
But what's the harm that
nobody
can come
dies
from
here.
This job?
Although we might die from the heat today.
Yes, but our boss did always tell me, Amy, you're not saving lives. Nobody's going to die. They might turn off the radio.
Yeah.
But they're
still not going to die.
They're going to die. Except if you're on air and you tell people not to freak out about a snowstorm in Chicago.
Which I did do.
Yeah, that was a bad move. And we have another voice message.
From Susan.
Maybe instead of going on a stupid carnival ride, it's supposedly into space, Gail King and Katy Perry could donate, they could have donated all that money to Meals on Wheels. Doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you, Susan.
Hold on. Did they pay for it themselves, or did they get invited to go on Jeff Bezos' dime?
I don't know. I don't really care. I mean, I should care, I guess. I don't know. It's the whole thing's irritating to me. I actually think it moved feminism backwards because, again, they didn't accomplish anything. You could have put potatoes. You could have put a poodle in there and just shot it up into space. We already have female astronauts. Sonny Williams spent months and months in space. Just got back a few weeks ago. And I get it that this is cool that these celebrities went up there. But the cool factor is that we are one step closer to commercial spaceflight. There is no cool factor for womankind as it was being posited. Katy Perry going into space does nothing for feminism or womankind. Like I said, they could have put a potato in there. They could have put a poodle.
I know, you really hate Katy Perry.
Well, it's just like, so, she doesn't strike me as like, now there's a face of feminism with her little cupcake icing bra going up into space.
I don't
space.
Know. I think we might be overthinking this one.
No, I think we're overpraising it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know how many people are praising it, though.
I feel like a lot.
I feel like very few. I think most people are mocking it.
Well, the people who you would think would be taking it seriously, or excuse me, would be mocking it, are taking it seriously. Those would be newsy people. Or even the feat itself, there was a banner that said like a giant leap for womankind. It's not, though. It's a giant leap for commercial spaceflight. End of story.
So Blue Origin doesn't disclose how much it costs to be on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Virgin Galactic has similar flights, which go up.
Yeah.
And they cost between $200,000 and $450,000 for a seat.
That's what I thought. I thought it was something like several hundred thousand dollars.
So I don't know if these folks paid for it or if it was like, hey, you're good advertising for us, so we're going to do it. But you might as well get used to celebrity space flights
honestly,
or wealthy people space flights
because
it's already happening.
William Shatner was better because the whole Star Trek thing, look how far we've come, commercial space flight is in sight. To me, William Shatner made sense.
None of it makes sense to me.
This is not
a
feminist.
It's all pointless.
There's nothing to advance womankind in this.
I would love to see who's arguing this. I need to see who's arguing this is a feminist endeavor.
Well, the people who did it. Because they had a banner.
I see. Well.
That said it was.
I don't think anybody takes them seriously.
I don't think so either. Lauren Sanchez, the one who wore a bra to the inauguration, you don't take her seriously?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. The boobie picture.
Jeff Bezos' wife.
Jeff Bezos' wife when Mark Zuckerberg was being inappropriate.
I guess I need to go back and look.
No,
I didn't pay attention.
Of course you do.
I didn't pay attention. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Let me go look. I don't remember the boobies.
I really don't. I don't remember this at all. Why? Was this a huge thing?
Yes. Yes.
Maybe I'm paying attention to the wrong stuff.
We talked about it on the Glover show for like an hour and you were in the room.
Yeah.
Because we were all laughing because all of the eyeballs were like,
whoa. I remember Kanye's wife or girlfriend who then broke up with him. Like her outfit. Was it at the Oscars?
Yeah.
She showed up naked. I remember that. That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji on KMOX. It's tax day, baby.
So bad with money when people say Happy New Year. All I think is, I got to do taxes. It's never a happy new year. Even in my accountant, he couldn't walk. And he's always so angry at me. Always. Kathleen, I cannot believe you're still this disorganized. I cannot believe you are still this disorganized. Why? Why? Why can't you believe that? You've known me for 13 years. Why would it all turn around? You know what? I can't believe you're still not hilarious. You are just as boring this year as you were last year. How does the sound of your own voice not put you to sleep? There. Are we even? He never laughs. He's always so intense. Now, do you understand what we're going to do here for the next 2 hours? Well, here's what I think is going to happen. I'm going to take this Gap bag full of receipts, and I'm going to put it on your desk, and I'm going to start crying. And then you're going to say, don't cry, and then you're going to turn around and type some shit into the computer, and then it's going to come out, and I'm going to sign it, and then you're going to promise I'm not going to jail.
It's tax day, baby.
Ugh.
The Gap bag full of receipts is so real because I have done that. And it's a Gap bag. Why do we all have Gap bags? Maybe that was a thing a few years ago before Amazon. But we all had Gap bags full of receipts, and I cry. And this is the first year I've ever done my taxes on time. And this is because of Kim, my tax lady, who is more like a babysitter. She keeps texting me, Amy, are you getting your stuff together? And so anyway, I did. This year I did. Because last year, on April 14th at 10:30, I texted my dad, hey, is there a box of important papers somewhere at your house? That's where I was in the tax process on April 14th.
Yeah.
Last year.
And last year you had a couple extra days, right? Wasn't the file date the 17th or something?
I don't know.
I like those years when it's not actually the 15th.
I don't know. I didn't know. I never even thought that not filing an extension was an option. First of all, I thought you always filed for an extension. And second of all, I asked for a second extension. And my tax lady, Kim, said, Amy, you can't file for another extension. There's only one. You can't stack them. Because I thought maybe you could file for extensions indefinitely.
Do not take my advice if you're listening, okay?
Yeah.
What I'm about to say, do not listen to me. I'm just telling you what my guy who does my stuff for me says. He says, unless you actually owe money, you know, it doesn't have to be the day of. And I'm like, are you sure about that?
How do you know you don't owe money? I always owe money.
I owe a little bit this year.
Oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you. This year, on my federal income taxes, they owed me. I've never had that. But I still owe state. I owed the state. I owed the city. But the federal government, they owed me. Never had that before. It's kind of incredible feeling. It's a real flex.
He just told me the amount of money I owe. It's not that much this year. I owe the city nothing, apparently.
How is that?
I don't know.
I sent nothing digitized in the city, so I had to send like 12 envelopes.
That is another thing.
Daly. Is that his name?
Greg FX Daly.
Gregory FX Daly.
I need Gregory FX Daly to modernize this crap. Toot sweet! Because it is ridiculous that we are in 2025 and I got to go get an envelope today.
Do you know how many?
I have to get an envelope today and I have to go get a stamp. I have to get a single stamp. So that I can mail this thing to the city. I could also drop it off in person, but yeah. Where do I park?
No,
where do I park? And then I got to go walk.
I visited my parents. I said, hey, Dad, I've got to send Gregory FX Daly like 12 envelopes worth of paper because nothing's digitized. And he said, okay, how many stamps do you need? You need 12 stamps? I'm like, yeah, I need 12 stamps. And then he leaves. And I hear from the back, Aim, I only have 11. He only had 11
stamps.
You don't
need 12 stamps.
Well, I had 12 envelopes.
Oh, you have 12 envelopes. Oh, I thought you had 12 sheets of paper.
No, I had 12 envelopes. And so anyway, and that was my state and federal taxes. I guess they weren't all going to Gregory FX Daily, but most of them were.
What are we doing that it is this late in human history and we still have to mail physical mail to the city? It's really, really stupid. Just let us do it online, be done with it.
I will say, I physically mail my federal and state taxes too.
Yeah, I don't.
I just don't know why I had so many envelopes for Gregory FX Daily.
I don't either. But this is a completely absurd thing the city does. Yeah. How much would it cost for us to digitize all this?
$7 probably. $7 or $8 probably.
Make a website.
Yeah.
How much would it cost to make a website?
Will the new
where you can pay on the website?
Comptroller have any? Will Donna Behringer have any power over that?
I don't know.
She might.
I don't.
She does financial
I hope she
stuff.
Does. Do you?
I think she might. Maybe she can like pressure people into digitizing this.
Can you pay city parking tickets online?
That's a.
You can.
Great question.
So Frank Ladd tells us you can pay parking tickets online.
So why can we pay city parking tickets
but
online?
But not taxes.
But not taxes. We're asking Frank. He's the answer man.
Yeah.
Looking that up, we have a voice message from Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just a little tax day story, as I was reminded of it when Ron said he was skipping tax day. When I was a teenager, I used to work for Kinko's. This is before it was FedEx Kinko's. This was just Kinko's copies at the time. But working late at night, and this older gentleman comes up to the counter to pay for the copies he's been making on the color copier of this book, which, first of all, you're not supposed to do, so he was already breaking the law. But he was a little disheveled, had a kind of crazed look in his eye. I glanced at the cover of the book he'd been copying, and it was something like tax conspiracy theory, yada yada. He saw me glancing at it. He looked this teenager in the eye and he said, I haven't paid my taxes in over 40 years. Are you going to turn me in? And I was like, no, sir, I'm not. And he said, are you going to turn me in? Go for it. I dare you. And I said, I'm not going to, sir. And he took his book and he walked out. And that man is my hero.
Oh, my God. You think that guy lives in a compound?
Are you going to turn me in?
And that he's always waiting for the government to show up? Like,
oh
for 40
gosh.
Years, that man has been waiting for the government
really
to show up.
Funny. That's really funny. Thank
and he's
you,
probably
Steve.
Got he's probably got this fencing outside, which is just sheet metal, with little holes cut in it so that he could keep an eye on what's going on outside.
I love that he told the kid, the teenager, he told Steve, I haven't paid my taxes in 40 years. You got to turn me in,
what are you
going
to do about
what
it,
What are you going to do about it? That was like when I got that ticket on opening day on the way to Kegs and Eggs. I swear I wasn't going 50 miles an hour. I was going 45, not 50.
That's just...
And the police officer and I just looked at each other. What are you going to do about it? Anyway, Steve, thank you for the voice message. Ronj, you decided you're not paying taxes this year?
Yeah, I'm going to skip it.
Yeah?
Well, I don't owe the city any money. I owe a little bit to somebody else. I'm not even sure. He didn't even tell me who. He said, you owe this amount of money.
Yeah.
And I said, all right. Whatever.
Who are you not paying it because you're afraid that you're going to send the check in and there won't be anyone?
I'm not sending a check.
There won't be anyone to work.
I'm not doing anything.
Oh, really?
I think I'm going to be on the lam soon.
Hmm.
I've always wanted to be on the lam.
Will you broadcast remotely from the lam?
I feel like if I did, you could find me.
I would think so.
So I don't want to take that risk.
Yeah. No, I can see that. You got a great call from the IRS before.
I did.
Yeah.
I got a phone call one time. It was a robocall. And it said that if I did not pay my back taxes, they were going to, quote, call the cops. It literally said, call the cops. I love the idea.
I love that.
Of an official agency, a federal agency calling me, telling me that I was in trouble because I had back taxes and that they were going, the official word was, they were going to call the cops. Oh, are you?
You know what, though?
It's so ridiculous.
It makes the IRS feel very relatable. Listen, Ryan.
Yeah.
You got to pay your back taxes or we're going to call the cops.
Hey, I'm going to come after you, kid.
We're going to call the cops.
That's so good.
That's pretty good.
It was clearly not a real call.
Yeah.
I was not in trouble, and the cops were not called, mm-hmm. in fact. And I am going to pay my... In fact, I did pay my taxes. I did the credit card online thing. So it's taken care of. There was like a $3.95 service charge. Fine, really? Whatever. This prevents me from having to go to the post office and buy a stamp. Two stamps. I would have had to buy two stamps.
I'm waiting to see how many business days it takes for the IRS to cash my checks, because I know the last time, man, I felt like I opened the blue postal box, the little door, and I put the envelope into the little postal box. I went back to my apartment, and I literally had a notification that my check
that
had been
cashed.
That
is not true.
Somehow, the most efficient part of government is the part of government that cashes your tax checks. It was hours. It was so fast. So anyway, now I'm going to see how long it takes for them to cash my check.
So a text message here says, this city is so stupid. Do they still use fax machines?
I actually think they might. I think they have to if it's not digitized.
Well, yeah, every department has a fax machine, has a fax number. All of them.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's time to digitize the records. I do think maybe Donna Behringer, the comptroller, might be able to help with that.
I don't want to get away. I'm not trying to get rid of the postal aspect of this, like mail in the letter, because there are some people who don't want to do online stuff. They can't.
Right.
They don't know how to navigate it. You know, we know people who are not particularly old who still can't do technology. So that makes sense. And if you want to fax forms over, that still makes sense. Give people as many options to get in touch with you as possible. But this whole thing about you can't, you don't have the option to do it online in the city is nuts.
And they are digitizing some things. And it is indeed the comptroller's office that can make it a priority to digitize public documents and different types of records and financial reports. So hopefully we can get on this.
I think Frank is trying to tell me that it just comes out of your paycheck, your tax. Well, so does mine, but then I still have to file at the end of the year.
No, they say it comes out of your paycheck. You know what? I think with our billing, I think some of it's different because it comes out of my paycheck and I have to write a check to the city.
I have to do both.
I wrote three checks to Gregory FX Daily.
Yep. Yeah. So this should just be done for you. I still maintain that all of this, all of the taxes every year, they should come to you with a number and say, this is how much you owe me, the state, federal government, and the city. If you want to dispute that, you can dispute it, and here's what you can do to dispute it, and you can provide paperwork and evidence. Why can't we just do it like that? It would be so simple.
Again, we only have a few minutes left, but if you have any comments for tax day, maybe you're drinking margaritas and doing your taxes. That's a good idea.
It's always best to do it drunk.
Well, how do you do your taxes? 314-436-7900. You've got like 30 seconds. Hurry up. Text
in. And we have some tickets to give away to see the Battle Hawks play. Oh, baby. We will do that shortly on KMOX. This text message from a 314 said, I had a call the cops message too.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it.
All right.
Pay your taxes or we're going to call the cops.
So we're in this together, brother, you and me, and we're on the run from the law together, you and me.
I've always said if I get fired or I quit, really either way, I would love a police escort out of this building.
Oh, where you can't touch anything?
Yeah, like the perp walk out of your own office. Just like a little mystery. What did Amy do?
I want to be put in cuffs.
Okay, well, you keep your private life. This is a family show.
This is not a family show. Yeah, if you're in the car right now with your children, be under no illusion that this is for your kid. This show is not for your kid.
That's not our demo.
But also, Hello, kid.
Hello to all the kids. Why aren't you in school?
Hey, got we got another thing that you could do if you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Battle Hawks. Do you? Caller number 6 to the contest line, 955-1120, 314-955-1120, and you will get to see the Battle Hawks at any point this year during the regular season that you want to go.
And we just want to say, again, that Matt Pajeski, who we were calling a mush yesterday, because all of the teams that he went to see lost, he did see the Cardinals last night. They did win in spectacular fashion, and so he is allowed to go to the Blues game tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're welcome.
This texter says, those who cannot use technology should be deported. Well, then you might lose some of your favorite radio personalities. Because there are some people who work maybe here, maybe not, who just can't figure out technology.
So the little comedy routine we played earlier about the Gap bag, that was Kathleen Madigan, comedian, St. Louisan, and she has a really funny routine as well about, like, let's just handle the immigration thing, like voting people on and off the island, where we get to vote. Like, no, this person is maybe a citizen, but they're not doing anything for me. They're out. Someone else is in. It's pretty funny.
Should it all just be about how somebody is specifically helping me?
You?
Yeah.
Well, in your little voting list, it seems so.
I don't think that's a bad deal.
Well,
how directly?
I think it should be, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I think that's what we should ask.
Ask what you could do for Ronj. That's what I think.
Taxes?
Yeah. You can do my taxes if you want. I do hate this day. Even there's something stressful about even gathering all the things you need to gather to give to somebody else to do your taxes, because you feel like, what did I miss? Did I miss something that's going to get reported and then the government's going to come after me?
Well, you never
know.
Because
I forgot this one stupid thing. So, and then I have my guy who was like, did you do this? Like, he'll text me just like your lady will text you. Mm-hmm. And he says, did you have a thing? Did you have one of these? I'm like, oh, yep, you're right. I did. Here you go. And so I like to do it as last minute as possible.
I cried 2 days ago. So I'd already paid my taxes. I had sent in the checks, but it was a bad credit card bill month because, you know, my injury.
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of putting off the bills for the MRI. Mm-hmm. Those aren't cheap, even with insurance. And multiple doctor's visits, not cheap, even with insurance. PT, not cheap. So this injury ended up costing me a lot of money. Well, it also happened to be the same. Those were all due the same time as taxes. Also, the same time as my little ski trip I went on, which, I mean, I drove there and I tried to be, and I already had the passes, so I didn't have to buy the passes. So I did save a lot of money, but it's still expensive anytime you leave town. And it just all came to a head in this past month's credit card bill, and I cried a little because I was frustrated.
It's funny. I know we don't have a whole lot of time here to do this, but I mentioned it to you in the office earlier that there was this guy who used to pitch for the White Sox. His name's Bobby Jenks. And he's got, there have been stories written about it, so it's not like it's not public knowledge, but he's dealing with stomach cancer and it's terminal. And he's, you know, in his mid-40s right now. And it's a guy who made about $26 million in his career. And I don't know what he did with all of the money, but I know that he had to sell everything to pay for his medical treatment. And when you hear stories like that, here was a person who is a literal multimillionaire.
Yeah.
And I don't know all of his financial decisions.
There has to be more than
the story. There has to be, but it is very disheartening to hear somebody say they have a terminal illness and now they have nothing. You know, it's just because it's like, well, if that's going to happen to him who had $26 million at one point, what's going to happen to me or somebody I care about? It's just very, very disheartening stuff. Speaking of
disheartening.
Speaking of baseball,
yes,
we're going to talk plenty of baseball coming up here on the Gas House Gang, because Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, and Ollie Marmol, the manager of the Cardinals, will be joining us here in just a matter of minutes. Ollie's going to give us a half hour of his time. The Gas House Gang is next on KMOX.